Hi, this is Tyler Goswara, MobileViews.com. Today is November 9th, 2009, and this is Mobile Views mini podcast number 16. The topic today is Android because of the recent release of the Droid and the Droid Eris by Verizon. And my special guest today is Frank McPherson. Frank was my very first podcast guest way back in November of 2008, where we discussed Android. And Frank was kind enough to revisit me again in February 2009 when we talked about Windows Phone announcement during the Mobile World Congress. And Frank and I both bought the T-Mobile G1 back in October 2008. I returned mine, but Frank kept his and has been an Android user for over a year now, I guess. So, Frank, what phone are you using right now?
Well, I moved on from the G1 to the T-Mobile MyTouch, which is, for those who know the code names from HTC, is otherwise known as the HTC Magic.
Oh, okay. And when did you make that move? Back in, August when it was released?
Yeah, about that time. So it's been a couple, 2-3 months now that I've been using it, and I've been really happy with it. It's certainly a definite step up from the G1.
Are you still using any other phones, like a Windows mobile phone, or is it purely a MyTouch these days?
You know, I am still using Windows Mobile. That's what work provides me. I'm using an old Samsung Blackjack 2
okay. That
was provided by the company. So and that's Windows Mobile 6 Standard or Phone Edition, whatever they're called these days.
So what's your thought on that? So since when we bought the G1, there's been quite a bit of advances. I guess you're probably on, Android 1.5, 1.6 on the MyTouch right now?
It came out with 1.5, and then there's been a release, the 1.6 release that came out since then. So that is the version I'm running right now, which unfortunately is not the most current version. That's what the Droid is running, and that's been one of my concerns is unfortunately, my fear is that Google may be making some of the same mistakes Windows and Microsoft has made with Windows Mobile in tying distribution of their software with the carriers and the time it takes for that to happen. Now that all the carriers in the United States are selling devices, I'm not sure if AT&T is quite on board yet, but they're pretty close. You're now seeing the difference. I mean, up till really the last month or so, T-Mobile has been pretty much the only provider of Android devices in the United States. So that certainly gave you the appearance that when Google released something new update, that you got it relatively quickly.
Yeah, and in fact, mentioning the upgrade problem, I bought a Droid over the weekend from Verizon, which is running Android 2.0. But a coworker of mine in the office mentioned he went to talk to Verizon or Best Buy or somebody about the Droid Eris, which is, the HTC Droid that Verizon's also selling, running, I think, Android 1.5. And he said Verizon was not able to tell him if or when a 2.0 update would be available for the Droid Eris, which was, just released, and I think everybody kind of assumed it would be upgradable to 2.0, so I think you're right. Google and the carriers may be having a problem if they can't keep their boxes up to the current release the way the iPhone is, at least.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post last week about this because, I think one of the really big advantages or the big difference between, say, iPhone and Windows Mobile over the years has been the evolution of the software and what's really enabled that, and you don't really realize it, but the ability to distribute updates easily. In this case with the iPhone, it's tied with the iTunes, but it's still a pretty straightforward and easy process for a user. And most importantly, that the upgrade is not destructive in that the data, a user's data and the applications they've installed aren't wiped away. It's with Windows Mobile, anytime we had a major upgrade of the operating system software, it's pretty much a complete rewrite of the phone to the state that it was in when you first bought the thing. And that's pretty intrusive. For something like that, you wouldn't want it to happen frequently, in all honesty. That is something that, if Microsoft wants to get back into this market and be competitive, they're going to have to address. They're going to have to come out with a way to release updates that is not destructive and is easy and simple and quick to get to users. Android obviously has had that. Android actually distributes their updates over the air. So I upgraded the G1 to 1.5. That was a push over the air. And with this MyTouch to 1.6, the same process. The actual download, you don't really know it's happening. When you get the notification that your device is ready to be updated, as far as I can tell, it's already on. The updated software is already on the device. So when you push that button to go ahead and upgrade, it's a pretty quick process that probably doesn't really even need network connectivity. That really, as far as I know, you could get the download of that over a period of days, really.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think I had one upgrade during the brief period I had a G1, and it was pretty painless. It just sort of happened, and, one morning I woke up and said, oh, you've got to upgrade. Okay, so there you go.
Go ahead. But it's becoming obvious, I think, now with the multiple carriers, is that the carriers themselves have some role in that process of pushing out these updates. Like I said, in the past, when Donut was announced or 1.6 was announced by Google, almost within a month that the SDK was announced, we started hearing about and getting the update through T-Mobile for our phones. The 2.0 update, it's been about a month, so we might be getting pretty close to that time cycle that T-Mobile's had in the past. And I'm looking forward to actually upgrading this phone and seeing what the new features are.
Yeah, I
can't wait to play with.
Yeah, and speaking a little bit off topic, but I bought a Touch Pro 2 from T-Mobile in August with the sort of suggested promise, I should say, that Windows 6.5 would become available for it. And here it is over a month later, and I still don't have 6.5 for my Touch Pro 2. But when it becomes available, I'm going to have to do a destructive upgrade and reinstall all my apps and, bring the data back down, which isn't too bad because I'm Google syncing it. But still, it's a bit of a hassle. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this Android upgrade process works now. And, in fact, I was just reading during lunch that there's supposed to be an upgrade for the Droid next month, in about a month from now. So I guess I'll see that in about a little over 30 days.
So you've been away from Android for a while, and now you're back with the Droid. So what do you think? How do you like the Droid?
Well, what I've been saying in my blog is that it's no iPhone killer, but Windows Mobile and Nokia has a real problem on their hands with the Droid, I think. It's although it doesn't have the slickness and sort of intuitiveness of the iPhone, it is slicker and more intuitive than Windows Mobile and Nokia's S60 platform. I haven't seen a Mamiya like this N900 phone, but it's got enough slickness, and of course Verizon's large 3G network, as they keep telling us in their commercials. So, but the Droid itself is kind of interesting. I've got it talking to my Exchange server at work, which is great. And one of the things I also noticed that's really interesting is that when it brought down my corporate calalendar, it created a separate app, or I guess not populated a separate app. So I have a calendar for everything, including my corporate stuff. And then I have a separate app on there called Corporate Calendar that only has my Exchange server calendar information, which is really nice.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So that was brand new to me. Didn't expect it. Didn't know about it. I was really happy to find out that it was there, though, because your calendar can get pretty messy if you have your personal and your corporate stuff all mixed up. And sometimes you just want to see your corporate stuff. Right. Or especially when you're showing it to somebody, you know, you don't want to show, got to go pick up milk or something.
So in the app where they are combined is the corporate appointments from Exchange and the Google appointments. Are they color coded differently? Is there an easy way to tell the difference?
Yeah, they're color coded in the combined calendar.
Okay.
So that makes it easy to see. The only other change that really, you know, I've only had it a couple of days, I bought it Saturday afternoon, is that the battery life, you know, on the G1, my battery is dead by lunch. Today, I noticed about 1 o'clock, 1:30 or so, I'd had it on for about 6 hours, I put it into airplane mode when I sleep. And I turned it on when I got into the office around 7:30. And it was about 80% battery, and I let about a half a dozen people play with it at work. So, you know, it got a pretty decent workout, people accessing the web, that sort of thing, playing around the screen. So the battery life seems to be pretty good. And this was a concern over the weekend because I had to charge it twice on Sunday, for example, and I didn't think I was doing anything particularly strenuous on the Droid. But maybe it just needed a couple of cycles of charge to get up to speed.
Yeah, I failed to mention the reasons why I got the MyTouch, but the battery life was the top reason, in all honesty. And, you know, that's a combination of improvements that Google made in Android and a larger battery in the phone. The G1 had a pretty small battery in it, even though it was a larger device, so that didn't help matters. And, So the MyTouch, you know, I get through a day. I haven't, like today, for example, I haven't recharged it. When I was on the G1, I almost every day have to at least plug in it sometime during the day when I was at the office.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
That was driving me nuts when I had it. The other thing in the year is that the app marketplace, or whatever it's called, the Android market, seems much richer now. It's still not as large or easy to use as the App Store and iTunes, but you know, I was able to get a lot of interesting apps that weren't available, I think, when I was there. So, you know, some of the, like, the movies app and some weather apps that weren't there at the time. And, of course, a lot of the new Google apps, which are pretty interesting. So,
yeah, have you had a chance to play with the new navigation yet?
I have not played with the new navigation, but I did play with the Wikipedia layer on Google Maps, and that's really nice.
Yeah, there's an N-Layers application that is the augmented reality type apps where you can kind of hold up the camera and as you're panning around, it will show you, if there's a Wikipedia entry of the building across the street you're looking at, it would kind of give you an icon to indicate that you could tap on to get more information.
Yeah.
Those things are interesting, but I didn't find any real practical use for them yet. I guess maybe if I was walking around in a city that I didn't know for the first time and was kind of taking a tour, that would be kind of neat to have, but certainly wouldn't be something you want to be looking at while you're driving a car, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think those are the kind of things that people ooh and ah over, but you sort of, in real life, you kind of go, okay, that's kind of interesting, next. But yeah, I think I agree. If I were visiting somewhere that I hadn't been before or was simply unfamiliar with, it might be more interesting versus running around with it in my own town. But that said, you know, my town has some pretty interesting sites, so maybe I'll go try out some of those things. One thing I'm waiting for is, you know, the Google Street Maps guys were running around here during the spring, but those maps aren't alive. But, you know, once they go live in Google Maps, I might be able to use the other AR, Street View thing that we don't really have here yet. Yeah.
So anything else so far that you've liked, or maybe some things you don't like about the Droid?
Well, I don't like the keyboard. It doesn't have enough throw, you know, it doesn't push down enough, and that chin on the right side really bites into your palm. If it'll start sliding down your hands as you try to balance it, and that thing will just poke into your palm, which doesn't make sense. On the other hand, I do like the nav pad, which is sorely missing from the Windows Mobile Touch Pro 2 from HTC. That's a real problem on a TP2 that doesn't exist on the Droid. On the other hand, it doesn't have a numeric keyboard, but having a real keyboard compared to the iPhone, for example, is a big win for me. So, you know, despite the fact that I don't think it's a good keyboard, it's better than nothing, which is the case with my iPhone, which I still have.
There's been some speculation that one of the things that the physical keyboard does not have is some of the predictive text capabilities that the on-screen does. If they came up with an update that added that predictive text to the physical keyboard, do you think that would help things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I know on the Windows Mobile side, that really helps me a lot. I use predictive text in while using the physical keyboard all the time.
Yeah, so that sounds like something that could be fairly, you would think, fairly easily added by Verizon that could be an improvement. And so hopefully that's, you know, a type of feedback they would get.
Yeah.
I'd have to admit, when I, the MyTouch does not have a physical keyboard. It's more like the iPhone in that you have the on-screen keyboard. And I was kind of nervous about that. You know, I liked the G1 keyboard and kind of got used to it. And felt that, you know, the physical keyboard was something I'd really want. But what I've found, to my surprise, is that I've gotten used to the on-screen keyboard, and
that's
I can certainly live with it.
Yeah, I've gotten better on the iPhone's on-screen keyboard, but it's still I still find myself faster, for example, on the Touch Pro 2. And I know so far, I think I'm faster on the, despite my complaints about the Droid keyboard, I think I'm faster on that than the iPhone also. Hey, you know, before I forget, I want to let folks know that we're recording this using a LiveScribe pen instead of Skype. So if Frank doesn't sound quite as clear as usual, we're trying a little experiment to make it a little bit easier for Frank and I to get together every now and then to make these recordings so I don't have to lug my MacBook all around. And this is really more of a sound test with Frank and me just kind of having fun. So let's hope the sound quality is okay, and if it is, schedule permitting, I'm gonna see if Frank can maybe chat with me, you know, two or three times a month maybe, depending on how his schedule's running and that sort of thing. Because I think we have a lot to talk about, because I do, and I have a lot of questions for Frank, since he's got a year head start on me with Android, and I have a lot to learn. I figured my old buddy Frank can help me get off the rough spots. Hey, so Frank, do you have, before I forget, what's your blog? So I can scribble it down in your current blog address.
So the URL, there's a couple of them that point to the same site.
Okay.
The simplest one is frankmcpherson.com. That's all one word.
Okay.
That will redirect to the actual WordPress URL.
That sounds good. Okay, so I'm gonna in case the sound quality is really bad, and I hope it's not, because I've done one test that sounded good, I'm gonna end it now, and then you and I can decide what we think the sound quality is like. If it was not good enough, we'll go back to Skype. And if it's good enough, maybe we'll do this a little bit more frequently, since I don't have to do a lot of setup to talk to you. I should probably have somebody take a picture of me, because I'm literally just holding a LiveScribe pen with its one earbud in my left ear, which has a microphone built in, talking to you. That's it. There's no computer in front of me. I have an iPhone, a Droid in front of me, and I'm using a Touch Pro 2 as the actual phone. So, hey, Frank, thanks for testing this concept out of using a LiveScribe instead of a computer to record our conversation. This was Frank McPherson, frankmcpherson.com. And this was mini podcast number 16, where we talked about Android. And I think Frank and I are going to try to do this semi-regularly. How about it, Frank?
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Okay, thanks.